Good afternoon. It's 5 o'clock on Tuesday and welcome to this week's What Comes Next Live. I'm joined today by Dave Stewart of the Fresh Air Leadership Company, as viewers to the podcast can see on the screen. He's got a lovely virtual background of the Scottish Highlands. And Scotland has had all the good weather in the UK this summer. I live in London, the southeast, and I'm an exiled Scot. So normally we get better weather in the summer, but not the case this year. By the sound of Dave's company, I'd met Dave a couple of years at an event in London, and we've stayed in touch ever since, including through the pandemic. It will have been a very interesting pandemic for Dave and his company, and I imagine it's been rather eventful this summer. So I'm interested in hearing his thoughts on that and what's next and just anything that comes to mind. Welcome, Dave.
Well, thank you, Tom, and great to reconnect with you. And just to remind people and you, you were one of the first people that stepped forward in the pandemic to actually connect people across your community and other communities. So just a big thank you for your sort of reaching out way back in March 20. So well done there. But you mentioned, yes, it has been interesting. And one of the things a lot of companies did early on in lockdown one was sort of pivot or revise their strategy. And we had a good think about that. And one of the things that we were being resolute about is actually, as an experiential leadership company, going virtual really was contrary to the sort of impact we wanted to have on people. So we've been largely sitting out the a chunk of the pandemic and really thinking about how we can do our experiential in-person work with more value and more impact. So that's maybe contrary to what a lot of listeners have been doing during the pandemic, pivoting and re-strategizing. But you mentioned the summer and how busy it's been. It's people have discovered the outdoors. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe for your viewers, if I just quickly give people a description of what we do is we help leaders work out who they are and what it means to lead well in their worlds. So it's really situated in their experience. And we ask, a bit like you, some really significant and deep questions to get them to really reflect and really think about who they are and what their business is. And we use the outdoors quite often, but not exclusively, as a vehicle to inspire that sort of deep thinking. So place is really important for us because the way people think and interact with each other is impacted by place, also by the people they're with and also the process we use. But place is deeply important to us. But people, I think, during the pandemic, whether it's because in lockdown one they were given an hour of exercise and people almost rediscovered walking. But as people have come out of lockdown 3, 4, 24, whatever it has been, they have found that actually this sort of binary notion of home or office, you know, there is a third space, and you know there are fourth spaces. There's work from anywhere, but we are promoting the outdoors as one of those sort of COVID relatively safe spaces for people to be relaxed and connect. We sense there's quite a bit of anxiety about some people going back to the office. There's some anxiety about being trapped at home, but actually meeting one another in the outdoors seems to be attractive to increasing numbers of our clients. And the other thing we've discovered is people will present with, can we do a really creative outdoor workshop so we can re-strategize and really think about where we're going? But ultimately what they really want is just to meet each other in 3D.
Yeah.
And it's, yes, we will help them talk about strategy, but the big value they are getting is just meeting each other and having that sort of comfort of sort of almost putting their arms around each other and saying the team has reunited. And of course, quite a lot of those teams have recruited during lockdown and then meeting each other for the first time.
Absolutely. I'm seeing that a lot. Yes.
Yeah. So we're noticing the sort of outdoor workshops are really, I'd use the word flying off the shelf, but that's not kind of what we do. Everything we do is very bespoke. And coaching again has been, really, has been in demand as well. I think people wanting a sounding board. I know that's a phrase that you use a lot of Tom. People just want to chat with someone different and someone independent to help them sort of bounce their thoughts about, you know, I've kind of rediscovered who I am in my life and in my sort of social context. And I'm also reviewing who I am in my professional context. And all those kind of conversations are becoming really sort of, you know, pointed for a lot of people.
I think to take just a pause on those, I'm sure you've got lots of other ideas. Something I noticed out of, it's funny, I'd forgotten about the 1 hour a day we were allowed the first few weeks. But I was introduced, most people I work with come through introduction, and I was introduced to two different people as business leaders in around June or July last year as things were coming out and about. I remember I had my first in-person meeting with somebody in the Hampstead Heath. And I cycled my bike across rather than, you know, doing anything else. And in around June last year, and what was happening is the enforced change had them look at things differently. I mean, one way I might put it is they started to work on their business, not in their business. The time they saved in commuting, they said, let me look at my business. And two separate clients, came on board to work with me then they just looked at things differently. And they were ready for what's next. And of course, a lot of us are feeling, you know, all of us to some level are feeling depleted a bit by all of this experience because it is draining the uncertainty, et cetera. But some become ready. So I imagine a whole bunch of them, and this piece around bringing somebody new into your leadership team who you've never met in person is fascinating. Now, one other thing that's popped in listening to you for me is, yeah, I think a lot of us have done a lot of walking. Both in person and virtual walk and talks, like on the phone with somebody with earbuds in, while you just get out of the house in the middle of winter with rain gear on because you are stuck at home and you do that differently. But there's something about, and you talked to me about this when, you know, when we first got to know each other about, you know, the sense of place and things occur to, you know, you don't have to do terribly much that's complicated, but if you're running a day or 2 days with a team, for me, when I'm facilitating, I'm always looking at making the energy flow in different ways throughout the day. So you take them down a metaphorical path, and help them go deep when they need to, be on the surface when they need to, up and down hills to stretch the metaphor. But it's not really stretching it because you do that. I'm just thinking how amazing it must be to know you've got people for 2 days and you go, okay, at this point on the morning of day two, they'll be ready for this stage of the conversation amongst themselves. And all we need to do is have them pop out on a hill ridge looking out at the West Coast, you know, the ocean on the West Coast or something, a bit like the picture you have behind you or a loch surrounded by hills. Must be just amazing. I mean, you know, you must have examples of, you know, because I know you really consciously look at place and scout locations and make sure you have that and do things like have visitors to the trek just appear at a gatepost. Yes. So talk a little bit about how place can really work for your clients. That's fascinating for people to hear.
So give you a couple of examples. So we had a bank who wanted to get away from a command and control culture and develop something more networky, more based on influence, based on lots of people contributing to the leadership conversation. And we chose Dunblane in Stirlingshire for that intervention. And there's a whole bunch of other stuff wrapped around that. But we chose Dunblane for a number of reasons. The first one was that Sir David Stirling, who set up the SAS in 1941, the Special Air Service, was countercultural to the prevailing way that the military operated in the Second World War and to some extent the way they operated in previous conflicts. And he created something that was very disruptive. It was very innovative. It was very entrepreneurial. It was cunning. And he was born in Dunblane and his statue's there and his family seat's there. So that's one reason. Second reason was, you know, Sir Andy Murray, you know, elite sportsman behind which is a largely, unknown, hidden, but very high performing team that supports them. Mm-hmm. And the third reason for Dunblane was the tragic school shooting some 20 plus years before this intervention talked to the whole idea of community spirit and the sort of self-organization that took place thereafter to change the UK's gun laws. You know, there was a community driven effort to do that against a whole nation. So Dunblane as a place talked to the bank before they even came on the intervention. They knew that they were going to a place that was steeped in the values and the ambitions that they wanted to replicate. So that's one example. The other example, we had a leadership team that wanted to explore storytelling as a way of creating the leadership conversations that they wanted to create. So there's a section of the West Highland Way between Bridge of Orkney and Glencoe where you pass a cairn, and it's the Fleming cairn. And this was Sir Ian Fleming's brother, Peter Fleming, who the Fleming sort of family sort of owned that part of the country. And Peter Fleming actually wrote the first spy book. Not many people know this. And because he was such an adventurer, he said to his brother, Ian, look, you crack on with all this writing spy stuff. I've done one book. I'm off to do adventuring. So this cairn talked very much to the whole idea of not so much James Bond, but actually authorship and storytelling. And on that same intervention, we introduced a couple of guest companions who had very big life stories to share. So again, place talks to a lot of what we do in the way we design our work with clients. And back to your previous point about landscape, we will use landscape in a way that promotes divergent and convergent thinking, talks to the energy, exactly as you've just said. So while clients will go on a walk, we've actually rather cunningly designed it in order to support those conversations. They don't need to know what's happening under the bonnet, but they do need to have those conversations. And that's kind of what we try and do for them.
Yeah, I mean, you use a really simple example. You could know that you want a point at which you consciously want them to feel the conversations are a bit more difficult and a bit more challenging. Mm-hmm. And they can be set with a question and talk among themselves for an hour or two. But if you make that one uphill, right, and then, you know, you get to the point where you stop for lunch at the top of the hill, and then you know you've eased the tension, and they could be walking downhill. An example, a very simple example, is a few years ago, I went on an expedition that a friend of mine set up called Snowhow, and I was one of three mentors, and there were 12 entrepreneurs, and all they were told was, fly to Geneva Airport, we'll pick you up, and well, here's your packing list, and it's not skiing, and we'll drop you back 28 hours later, right? Well, what did we end up doing? We snowshoed. And the beauty of that is that all that really happens when you snowshoe is you walk in pairs up a path, and you tend to change places and talk to people organically. What was also fascinating was how, without anybody saying a word, there was a level of team and support. Because some people weren't as fit as others. And you realize that there was nothing needed to be done, but the fitter people would drop back and walk with the less fit people, and everybody just moved together.
And the whole idea of breaking trail and sort of sharing that effort as well is important.
Yeah.
It's interesting. You mentioned that one of the things we don't do, and this may surprise some listeners who see the kind of outdoor and the mountains in the background, is we don't do anything extreme. So we're not into Bear Grylls. We're not into witchy grubs. We're not into creating pain and discomfort. We use the outdoors as a creative thinking venue, in a sense. Mm-hmm. And we help people think, because there's so much action orientation out there in the business world.
Yeah.
And yes, there is some thinking, but quite a lot of the thinking is quite operational. And there is a need we find, and certainly our clients recognize that to step back, slow down and think afresh and have someone to help them notice how they are thinking. So it's not just, if you like, level one thinking. It's actually you know, how am I thinking, and could I think in a different way to create a different conversation, to create a different result? So for us, it's really about thinking. And we often use the word decelerate. You know, business is full of words like launch pads and accelerator and all those kind of high velocity verbs. And actually we're saying, whoa, no. We want some slow velocity verbs put back into the lexicon of business, because you need to slow down. You need to have an interruption to your normal environment in order to sort of move your mind. You know, all we're after is just nudging people's thinking, and we will feel we've done a good job. It's all about just shifting the dial very slightly.
And so you've just jogged me to ask another Scot to come on the show, a guy called Gib Bullock, who is famous for being an intrapreneur.
That's right.
He typically works with sort of rising stars within corporates. And he's from, his dream is to create a place on the island off the west of Scotland that he was born. And he's creating a decelerator. So he lives in Switzerland right now. So I absolutely have to get him on. But that's fairly clear what his market is, which is corporate clients putting some of their team on to decelerate when they're under high pressure. Typically, I would imagine, in my own experience, people from mid-20s to late-30s, they're just flat out all the time in their career, particularly in big cities like London and others. Who would be the perfect client? I know it would be quite broad, but who are the perfect clients for your company?
Well, I mean, it tends to be private sector. It tends to be someone who's got a problem and who has the checkbook and the ability to engage and go off and do stuff. And I'm not saying the checkbook business in terms of us trying to be a money machine, but actually it's about the level of empowerment to actually say they like the sort of things we are proposing. So it's about, have the ability to prove something quite quickly, and let's get cracking and doing it. Because the longer people leave the symptoms that they present with, the tougher it's going to be on their business. So we're quite keen to move to some sort of interventional program within 2 to 3 months maximum. Anything longer than that, and it's okay. people are losing the value. But to your point is that our clients are everybody from micro businesses to FTSE 100 companies, and it's, you know, it goes against sort of marketing sort of wisdom about you must niche down to a certain size of company in a certain sector. All our clients come to us because they want to think, and they want to think together, and they understand that the outdoors is a creative space rather than an outward bound space. It's a creative thinking space.
Well, I what I heard from you, the first part of what I heard answers the second part, right? Because if they're from everything from micro business to a large listed company, what I also heard, you've used the word intervention multiple times. Mm. And so potentially, if I'm thinking, who could I refer to you? Because I am actually thinking about that. And you talked about speed of decision making and no more than 2 to 3 months from the idea to the event. Mm. It's to solve a problem at some levels, through creative thinking with a team. So, I mean, that's a broad space, but it's not, you know, oh, let's book our annual offsite with you in 18 months time. It's we've got something we're looking at, and we know we'll benefit from getting people together in a creative and different way. And we'll use the outdoors for that. So that when I was talking about uncomfortable, for clarity for listeners, I meant in a facilitative space. You're talking about walking, basically, right? Walking in the outdoors and walking and talking with pausing, and you'll have other, you know, some of your own team within that group to coach, facilitate, etc. But yeah, I can absolutely see. I've got a client in mind right now I'll talk to you offline, going, actually, they've got something that they could take 5 or 6 people in their leadership team, get on the sleeper up to Edinburgh, Glasgow, get picked up in a bus by you guys, and off they go.
I mean, the other thing, just to maybe sort of build on that, is if we have three P's. So one P is place, which we've talked about. The other thing is P for people. And the sort of people we have in our team, I think, is a point of definition, is that they all tend to come from high consequence leadership backgrounds. So they are special forces. They are murder detectives. They are improvisation performers. Now, there's nothing more courageous than someone who stands up on stage with no script and entertains people for an hour and a half. And we've got NHS surgeons, and we've got pilots. So all those people who are also experienced coaches and facilitators, when they spend time with a client, clients tend to find that their problems fall away slightly. And we also encourage them to think of possibilities that lie the other side of problems. So there's a We try and get away from the deficit conversation to one where we're talking about possibilities. Yeah. And the third P is around process. We're very strong advocates of inquiry. And, you know, the world is awash with content. The world is awash with yet another leadership book. We're anti that. We're inviting people to think with their own critical minds together to solve or create something that's relevant in their world. So it's really inquiry focused. So those are the three P's that sort of, in a sense, define our way.
I love that language of high consequence leadership. I think that's really interesting. And just even the way you express some examples, they're all high consequence.
If we
sit in the paradigm of, you know, cost centers and profit and loss accounts, it's different. Anyway, sorry, I've been really curiously asking about your business and stuff. What broader thoughts might you have around what's next, whether it's for your business, for leaders you've been talking to, the world we're living in, you know, what comes to mind?
So first of all, the question you pose is a cracker, and it really been thinking all afternoon. So thank you for that fantastic coaching question. So for me, The present thought really is about marketing and positioning. Now, it's more than just that. It's actually, marketing wisdom is all about sort of differentiation. And I'm of the view that it's less about differentiation. It's about defining who we are. Now, if our mission is to help leaders work out who they are, what it is to lead well in their worlds, we kind of need to do that ourselves. So actually, who are we? And who are we in the world that we are servicing? And so defining rather than differentiating is the kind of language we're going down. And also it leads us to the thought that it's about collaboration rather than competing. And in the outdoor space, it's a huge opportunity for lots of businesses. And I'm possibly 2-3 years away from exit. And that's the other thing that's in my head. And I want to encourage lots of businesses, whether they're coaching businesses or facilitation business, to consider the outdoors as one of the venues they might choose to sort of almost stimulate that. It's not really a market, but it's a way of doing things, because the more of us who can do that, and particularly with this kind of climate crisis, the more we can encourage people to engage with the outdoors, even at a light level, then that, you know, I believe is got to be good. You know, I think a lot of people have had enough of hotel conference rooms or sitting in the boardroom. There are more creative spaces, not just the outdoors, but there are more creative places where people can have better conversations and think more richly together. So that's the kind of space that I want to move my language, my marketing, my conversations with folks like yourself. That's kind of where I'm heading.
So I'm going to respond because I'm just going to with a provocation. It's not for I'm a believer in the idea that you can't see the goldfish bowl you're swimming in. So what you're talking about to me is both purpose and brand, who we are. Because that will define the next 2 to 3 years, no matter what happens, whatever goes on with COVID, an uncertainty like that. And this is the climate crisis piece, and connecting people to nature might be part of it. But I guess the provocation is to find somebody that your company hires that helps you work that out.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing which I'm doing is thinking about the capability that we offer ourselves as well as the client. Mm-hmm. Client. So I'm now actively recruiting associates in their 20s. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm in my 60s, and I've got a number of people who are in their 50s. So I'm actively recruiting associates in the 20s, 30s, and 40s who are male and female, who have operated in sort of private, public, and not-for-profit sector. So I'm creating a sort of richness within my own team to help us learn and develop ourselves, but also to then give value to others who would wish to engage us. So I think that's part of an answer to your provocation, mm-hmm. is how do we stay fresh, you know, fresher uh-huh. leadership? How do we stay fresh? Mm-hmm. So that's kind of my sort of, that's kind of what we're doing to sharpen up or freshen up our capability. Mm-hmm. And obviously having amazing people like you in our world.
you've complimented me several times, and I will do something I used to be very poor at, which is I used to deflect acknowledgements, but I will say thank you, Dave.
Good. Yeah.
And I love what you guys do, and I am intrigued. I'm actually in the middle of a culture project with across four time zones with a relatively fresh startup, and it is about intent, and that is a process, and yet it's a holistic one, and it's working out who you are and why you're here, and that then drives everything. And and what's really interesting for me is when you get, I've found generally that when you And kudos for getting people with diversity beyond, you know, middle-aged white males like you and me. I'm finding people the age of my children who are in their 20s, and 20s and 30s, they typically look at the about page on a website of a company before they look at anything else, whether as a customer or whether as a potential recruit. And they want to know who you are, and they want to know what you stand for, and they want to know why you're doing this. Before they look at what you offer.
Well, do you know the really good example of that? We had we're running a series of free fresh air business walks around Scotland, some lovely places, 3.5 hour walks, free. And we had two young business directors from a company in London fly up from London to join us on a walk in the Loch Lomond here, because they had been following us on LinkedIn for about a year. So they'd started that sort of surveillance, and they thought, right, the next stage is we want to come up.
Sorry, pausing for the audience. Yeah. Dave is ex-military. Hence words like surveillance.
I suppose that's
sorry. So they surveilled you, and they came up to Loch Lomond for a walk.
Yeah. So they came up just to basically check us out for real in 3D. And that's now leading on to a conversation about how we can help their company. So you're absolutely right. People are doing their homework, hopefully we're helping people do their homework. We're accessible. It's kind of what I hope to say.
Well, I very much concur with you about the outdoors piece. And I've always believed in something as simple as walking meetings. Mm-hmm. So sometimes people will be able to, you're predominantly based in Scotland for location at the moment. And people maybe in Scotland can access that. They may get the sleeper or or drive or fly, depending on their level of comfort with different forms of transport. Mm-hmm. But just a sort of tip to people, and I wrote about this on one of my daily blogs last week. I had a business friend come down from inner London to where I live on the very edge of London. And they got the train down the other day, and they got off the train and they were walking really fast and talking really fast and saying how busy they are, and they really needed this walk in the country. Mm-hmm. And I went on my phone, you know, we're in the modern world, and I booked a decadent lunch at a wine bar that we just chose on the fly. But the table wasn't, it was only a 20-minute walk straight up the main road, right? Mm-hmm. But it was in an hour. And I went, tell you what, first thing, start walking more slowly. And then I took them on the back road, which was onto one of the North Downs. Now, within 15 minutes, we were on the top of, without saying anything more, the cadence of their speech had slowed down. The pace of their walk had slowed down. And when we got to the top, they sort of rewilded the space. And the City of London Corporation that manages it had not mowed the meadow for 2 months. Hmm. And with all the rain down here, it had gone wild. but the pollen had passed and the wildflowers were amazing. And we literally stopped and took a whole bunch of photos on our phones, turned around, looked at the view back towards the Shard and London. And without saying a word, within 20 minutes of getting off the train from central London, everything about that individual had changed.
Right.
Just going for a walk can make all the difference in the world.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's the whole biochemistry changes as you move. And it's interesting, not everybody, you know, we don't stuff nature down people's neck. So we're not positioning ourselves as a provider of nature. Nature isn't the solution. And yes, we do walking stuff, but we do very creative, scenario based, experiences. And we, for example, put people through a rapid induction program as a mountain rescue team with a real mountain rescue team to learn about planning and replanning and, crisis management and how you make tough moral, calls, under pressure. So it's not just going for a walk. We do some complicated stuff. It all depends what the client needs, and we will create something bespoke to help them get to the other side of their challenge.
Place, people, and process. And so absolutely, the process will depend and the place will depend, and it's custom tailored.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I'm conscious of keeping to the approximately half an hour that we go to. As always, these things could go on for a long time. So it's been an absolute pleasure learning more about yourself, Dave, and the Fresh Air Leadership Company and what you're up to and what you're seeing with different people. I'll leave you, as I do with my guests, with the final word.
Okay. Well, thank you. A lot of people think, yes, I go for a cycle run. I go for a run. I'm doing lots of thinking, but actually that's a cop out. You're not getting value until you're doing that with someone else. Okay. It's got to be dialogic. It's got to be with the team. Doing your own thing means you'll always be a prisoner of your own thoughts. So get out and be with other people.
Very incisive. Thank you, Dave. Absolutely.
Thank you, Tom.